Someone just texted me the news that the leader of a church in London called All Souls, it's a big church in London, is leading and another leaving, announced they're leaving tonight. And another church in Oxford, the leader announced his leaving. And then they said, wow, the age of wizards, elves and dwarfs is passing and now comes the age of men. It's a quote from Tolkien anyway. This is about the age of men coming. I want to read from Haggai, which is a book about Advent, really, chapter 2. So if you've got a Bible on your phone or whatever, where you are, have a quick look. That's our culture. This is the word of God. This is something that we can eat and be nourished with. When I was an undergraduate at Oxford, I never read the Bible. I had never read the Bible. I'd read it as a little child and so on. I just assumed it was not to be dealt with. I was studying French and German literature, and I didn't realise that most of the literature I was reading was defined by this book. You know, I was ignorant. So this is a book that has shaped the whole world, the Book of Books. And this is a prophecy from God, really, in chapter 2. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. I speak to Zerubbabel. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? And how does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now, be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. And my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all the nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord. And in this place I'll grant peace. I want to give two kinds of application to this tonight on this Advent service. This is a prophecy about a building that's in ruins, but really and how glory will come into it. And you know, in the Old Testament with the tabernacle and then with the temple, the glory of God came so much so strongly that people couldn't stand up. And that is what we pray for in this service sometimes, that the glory of God would be so thick that you can't stand because God is here. But really, this passage isn't simply speaking about that. It's speaking about the glory that is to come, namely the promised one, the one called the desired of all the nations, Jesus, who comes as a baby. And when he was brought as a little baby into the temple 500 years later, This prophecy was given in 520 years before Christ. A man called Simeon looked at him and saw him and came up and prophesied and said, "Now let your servant depart in peace, because my eyes have seen your salvation, the glory of your people Israel." Simeon and Anna, older people, recognized that Jesus is the glory. So the first application of this passage is that Christ is coming. He's the desire of the nation. And of course, he has come as a baby. He has redeemed the earth and humanity through his death on the cross and resurrection. And he will come again in glory. So it's also a prophecy about the second coming of Jesus. We live between the lightning of the first coming of Christ and the thunder of his second appearing. We're living in a short space of time. 1,000 years is like a day in the sight of God. He will come again. And the message of the prophet is, in a time of shaking, before he comes, there will be shaking. At the moment, there's massive political, economic, and terrorist, but above all, I believe, ecological shaking going on in the world, and it's going to get worse. And this passage speaks of holding on, even in that. And desiring God, we want to call you at this Advent season to long for God, the desired of all the nations. Is he your? Do you desire him? And then to work, to speak about him and to keep on loving him. That's a kind of application. But tonight especially, I want to just ask about your own temple. Because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And when I came up to Oxford as a student, that was a rather long time ago, I looked cool on the outside, at least I thought I did, you know. I was smoking substances and wearing, you know, army surplus stuff and being generally long-haired and hippie-like. That was what was cool in those days. And I just got a scholarship and I thought, that's the way. I got a girlfriend. That was chaotic. She later became my wife. And then... but that was a lot later, after chaos. I felt pretty cool. But if you had unzipped my jacket and looked inside my heart, you would have found a ruin. And I want just to speak to any whose heart is in ruins in the room tonight. We can look great on the outside, but this passage speaks about those who know that inside they're in ruins. And the word says, I was in ruins, I don't know why, but maybe because my parents divorced when I was 14 and, you know, I decided to make it intellectually and get somewhere, but, you know, the one thing I dreaded had happened. My dad had left. I'm not blaming him. And these things happen. And inside, there was, you know, anxiety, butterflies, nervousness. And I was working hard to compensate. But there was a ruin there. But I don't know about you. But the word says, hold on in the shaking. You may be in a shaking time. Hold on. And then the word says... this word says, desire God. And somebody spoke to me about that when I was an undergraduate, about desiring God. And I just could not hear them. I was deaf. I thought, well, how could you? I remember saying to someone who my girlfriend Anita introduced me to, who was a Christian, what on earth would you read this book today? What relevance has it got to me? That's what I thought. I was blind and deaf. But I began to meet Christians and I began to see something in them that was winsome. One of them was a girl who was my wife's sister, Miranda. Anita's told you that she died tragically in a car accident in South Africa 4 weeks ago tomorrow. And when I used to go down to their family home by the sea, we would hang out and smoke and, you know, do what you do. And at a certain point, I was swearing like I did in those days, using the word Jesus Christ. And this girl, Miranda, who had just become a Christian, said to me, Charlie, do you mind not speaking about that name like that? Because I know him. I thought, what a stupid thing to say. I was so cross because I was kind of humiliated. And yet I was drawn to think about him, the one. And she had changed. And Anita was beginning to change. One day she rang me up and said, do you know what happened to Miranda? It's happened to me. I've become a Christian. I said, I'm very pleased for you. I wasn't really pleased at all. I didn't know what she was talking about. I thought I was pleased for me because I thought she would be nicer to me. I thought Christians are loving and kind and that would be good news, but it wasn't like that at all. She was strong. She'd met someone. Before, she was dependent on me. I hope you don't mind me saying this a bit, as I was on her. But now she wasn't dependent on me. She loved someone else. And I found that very attractive. Blokes, girls, that's a bit of advice, you know. If you want to be winsome, fall in love with Jesus. Anyway, I just threw that in for free. But through those changes, I began to desire God. And it's quite common. I was reading just tonight the story of a girl called Charlotte who came up to Pembroke in 2014. Every October, thousands of students descend on Oxford. In 2014, I arrived as a fresher at Pembroke to study law. I had a plan for my life. One of the many important decisions I was doing was avoiding God, despite growing up in church. I'd always felt as if I was alone. God was absent. Moments of great difficulty and times of intense sadness I had experienced. Charlotte told us that she considered taking her own life and put an arrow prayer up to God. And you would never know that now, but anyway, when Daniel asked me if I was a Christian, I was foolish enough to say yes, and I reluctantly found myself invited to regular evenings of singing and praying. And I'd never seen people worship like this before. They looked whole and I felt hollow. That was what I felt. And Charlotte begins to desire the desire of the nations. I kept returning to experience the wholeness, but I couldn't. And then she says this, during the Christmas break. The Christmas break is coming and maybe there's someone who this will be true for this year. During the Christmas break, I began to pray. Through a vivid experience, God made it clear that he was trustworthy over the next month, blah, blah, blah. During my time at Oxford, he turned my world upside down. I arrived wanting to become a barrister, but after graduating, I chose to spend a year studying theology and apologetics, and I now work as a consultant in London, and so on. A complete change from someone who is anxious, really, beautiful on the outside, but inside in ruins. She begins to desire God through experiencing worship, singing. You know, tonight singing these old carols in new forms just stirs our hearts. It does. I know it does. It's like reinterpreting ancient music that we have nostalgia for. So hold on in the storm. Desire God. And then the third thing about Haggai is this. It says, do the work and work, for God is with you. Work. So what is the work that we're called to do? Well, Jesus was asked this question. What is the work we're supposed to do? And he gave a very surprising answer. And this is what I want to encourage you tonight. The work of God is this. Believe in the one that he has sent. That may sound a bit disappointing, but that's the greatest thing to do, is to believe in Christ. And I came on a journey from a long way away into one day. I walked in the sort of autumn season into this building. I sat over in the corner and someone was saying, Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. He wants followers, and I can explain how to become his follower. And I wasn't ready for it, but I was desiring him, just beginning to desire him in my ruins. And then this person preaching showed me how to believe in him. Now, tonight, you can believe in him. You can become a Christian. And what he calls us to do as we believe in him is invite him into our ruin. Open the door of our life, and he knocks at the door. I stand at the door and knock. our life out. There are ruins in the back room of our house. There are secrets, there are addictions, there's trouble often. And all he asks us to do is believe in him. Believe that he died on the cross and rose from the dead. And invite him. It says he came to his own, and his own received him not. John 1:14. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who are born not of human will or decision, but born of God. And that is how the glory of God is a human being fully alive, said Irenaeus. And you can be the glory of, you can be a human being fully alive, you can. And the way to that escape from ruin into destiny and glory is to receive him and believe in him. And a lot of people do one and not the other. A lot of people say, yeah, I believe in him, but it's never worked for me. A lot of people receive him, but don't really believe in him. And tonight you can do both. And that will be a kind of fulfillment of Haggai chapter 2. That the glory of the later house, your second life, if you like, will be greater glory than the first part as you turn to him. And some people here have turned to Christ, but I want to pray for you to be baptized, filled to overflowing with the glory of God. Because often that comes from inviting him into dark recesses of your life where he's not really allowed admittance. So, how do we do that? We just pray, really, and talk to people and journey with him this Christmas. Read the Gospels. Read John's Gospel. Someone said, some girl, I was reading her story, she said she came into church for the first time. It was so full of light and people and students that she thought she'd walked into a different planet, and then she did a journey. Her boyfriend became a Christian. She was so sad, disappointed that it hadn't just been a phase. They split up. She went off for a gap year and began to read John's Gospel. And then she believed it. She received him. And it says, the Jesus of the pages of the New Testament had walked into my life. She's a girl called Ellen Harvey, who used to be a student at Magdalen and became an intern and now lives in the United States. Life completely changed. How do we do this? We pray, and I'm going to leave you with Emily Radford and co to journey on, but let me offer prayer now. I'm just going to say, let's close our eyes. Let's open our hands, maybe. And here's a prayer you can pray if you want to believe in him and receive him. It's a scary thing, but try it. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are here. I feel your presence tonight. Thank you that you died on a cross and rose again for me and for the sin of the whole world. I believe you. Please now come into my life. Come into the rooms that are hidden in my own soul, the ruined past and anxieties and addictions and fears in the pit of my stomach. Come in to my heart. I invite you, Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, come. And with your help, this Christmas time, I'm going to walk with you. I'll serve you in obedience. Come in as my friend to be with me. Come in as my Lord to show me how to live. Come in as my Savior to cleanse me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, What he does is we think he's just going to clear us up a bit, but he ends up building a palace out of your temple. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Let's stand and let's carry on and sing a song. If you've prayed that prayer, come and talk to me. Come and talk to the leaders. Talk to your friends. And travel onwards with Christ. Amen.